I really count it a privilege to be here with you folks and with Brother Wilson. And I would love to say a few words to you. We don't have a PA system here, but you don't really need one in this close area. Usually a preacher stays hoarse, and he just about has to have one. We preached pretty hard the other night over in Olive Branch, Mississippi, a couple of nights there at the Seat of Human. They were counting on us being there tonight, but God spoke to us, and we had to go over to Arkansas yesterday. It was with my brother Charles there this morning. The Spirit of God was wonderful there, and then just before that, we was up in Missouri over at Poplar Bluff under the big gospel team, and preaching there. And of course, here we are tonight down here. But I want to read just a little bit. You've got your Bibles, you can turn with me over to 2 Samuel. Maybe I'll just talk with you out of my heart a little bit tonight and instruct you in a few things instead of getting real evangelistic. Just see if the Lord might give us authority here. Thank you, brother. As a rule, I don't ever attempt to get into Revelation when I'm off, unless it's a real rare thing, because most people don't understand Revelation. And they're used to the usual Pentecostal move that came up in the early apostolic times, and I was brought up in it too, and I believe in it. And like I was telling Brother Wilson tonight, I love to see people shout and praise God and holler and scream and, you know, and really pray and really get down to business. I don't like to see people in hypocrisy do that to get attention. Yes, but I love to see them do it when it's God, you know.
Jesus, God.
And, God has still got some in the church that's filled with the Spirit. Over the church where we're at, we have them sometimes they holler and scream and praise God and speak in tongues and prophesy and interpret and those kind of things. And I just love it. I love the moving of the Spirit. But I also love to see people grow in the grace,
yes, amen,
and in the knowledge.
Praise God.
Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word.
Yes.
And it's going to take the Word to get the mind of God.
Amen.
It's going to take the Word to give us the faith that will rapture or translate us,
amen,
into the kingdom of God.
Yes. And that's praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I love to see God work miracles. And He does work miracles. He's a great miracle-working God. And I love to see God working miracles. And I love to see God heal. He's a great healer. He's a great miracle worker. And we've seen some mighty things. And I thank God for it. But still, when we come back to the main theme, it is to get the mind of Christ.
Yes.
God's one desire toward humanity was,
hallelujah,
to instill with them the mind of His Son.
Yes.
When He put His Son Jesus in the world, it so pleased God the way that that Son walked and lived, and the frame of mind that He had during His lifetime, it so pleased God that every person should be made after His fashion.
Yes. Praise God.
And that every temple should have that mind in it, because it was so surrendered to the control of God. And so then it has been His desire from the beginning of the world to instill within us the Word mind of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
How many of you believe that's true?
Right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, now, we go back, and the first thing that we learn was in the beginning. What was in the beginning?
The Word.
The Word. In the beginning was the Word. Now, I said that for a reason. Miracles are great, and we have need for them in the church. We have need for the gifts,
right,
in the church. People have to be healed. God put them there for that purpose. We have need for prophesying, speaking in tongues, and all these things. And
yes,
I've done them at one time or another. Every one of the gifts has worked in my life. And that's the truth, and I don't claim any of them. But at one time or another, they worked in my life.
That's great.
My doctor's proof, and by positive proof, not a make-believe. But there is one thing the Scripture teaches, and that is that God is to have the preeminence above
right,
all things.
Praise God.
And in the beginning was God.
That's right.
And it doesn't say God was a miracle. It doesn't say God was a discernment. It doesn't say God was a healing. It doesn't say that God was anything except the Word.
Yes.
Now, we know that God is every bit of that. He's healings, he's miracles, yes. He's everything. But it didn't give him that title. It said he was the Word.
Right.
He did that for a purpose, and that is to let us know that he is the invisible God and that we cannot see him.
Come on.
The Bible tells us that God cannot be seen. We've never seen God at any time. No man has ever seen God at any time.
Amen.
Moses never saw God. No man's ever seen God. God is the invisible spirit. Not only is it true that no man has ever seen God, but the Bible teaches he's the great light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. Never will you see God. Never. When you get to the heavens and you stand there before the great white throne of judgment, you'll see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God, the Holy Spirit, in his fullness or entirety, dwelling in that human body.
Amen. Right.
That's the only way you'll ever see God.
Praise God.
God is spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
That body is the mediation between you and I.
That's right.
And if it wasn't for that atonement and spilt blood,
that's right.
Then we would all be wrong.
Jesus.
And so then being the Word, the Bible teaches when the minister speaketh, it's not him that speaketh, but the Spirit of the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within him. Because we are the temples of God.
That's right. Amen.
You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. God the Spirit will dwell in you. He'll walk in you, talk in you, and he'll speak through us. And if any man deny that God the Eternal Spirit dwells in a human body, that man is Antichrist.
Right. Amen.
Anytime a man denies that God is a spirit and that he lives in a human temple, the man is Antichrist. Now, if any man deny that Christ or God is come in the flesh, that is living in the human body now, he is Antichrist.
Right.
Because God lives in you. You are his temple. He lives in you. He walks
Lord
in you.
God.
He talks in you. That makes you feel good.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise
God.
That's
right.
I want to read just a thought or two here, and then maybe I'll exalt you just a little bit. Might even get to preaching if we get stirred.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
If not, we'll exalt you some. In 2 Samuel, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn over and read with me.
Praise God.
The 7th chapter.
Jesus,
I appreciate the reference there. 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, the 1st verse. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all of his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in the house of Cedar. But the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell thy servant David, thus saith the Lord, shall thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever, according to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And you may be seated. You know, I'd like to say this tonight. First of all, the Lord impressed me tonight that he wanted me to speak to the people from this passage of Scripture. And I said, all right, Lord, I'll do it. But I haven't even as much as turned a place in my Bible. I don't even have my Bible with me. And I said, but I'll do it. And when I come up here, the brother handed me his Bible. Okay. He already had the place marked. Okay. And the paper and everything here was already in the place.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
When I opened
it opened right to this place.
That's how wonderful that God works in the body, showing the coordination of each member and of each one working together. Same mind, same accord. One mind, one great eternal spirit in control of the membership of the body.
Yes.
Every member moving just accordingly as the Spirit gives up.
Praise God.
Now, to me, that's wonderful. I read to you here where David said that never had God at any time ever had a house. And it was in David's heart to build God a house.
Yes.
And he pleaded with God to let him build the house. But God said to David, I won't let you build the house, but I'll let you gather the material for the house.
Yes.
And I won't let you build the house, but in the coming seasons, I will raise up a son called Solomon, and he shall build the house. Most of us know that David was a man of war. From our Bible studies, we've learned that David was a man of war, and that he'd take up the sword with a person in just a few minutes.
Listen, Lord.
And I think most people realize that the Pentecostal move, of yesteryear, has been one great battle and one great war to be able to gather together the stones, the lively stones, and to be able to heap together the treasures as David did, bring together those stones that God might build in the end time, a house of unification where the Holy Spirit could dwell in it and work in the membership of the body. Where the Bible tells us that the coming together of these stones, one to another, Paul the Apostle, being the great and wise master builder, sought to build this house by revelation and called to you God's building. He said, ye are God's builders.
Yeah,
though God has never had a building to dwell in, yet Paul calls you God's building.
Yeah,
and he said that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of the building. And he said the apostles or the teachings of the apostolic way of life is the foundation to that city.
Yeah.
And so then when Paul began to preach, he was different from Peter, different from the rest of the apostles, and different from the move that the Jews had had. He was a man that had been enlightened into a third heaven realm, and he got something from heaven that showed that God, the eternal Spirit, was designed to make man his habitation.
Praise God.
And so then as Paul began to preach, he preached a pyramid-type building with a capstone called Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Everything heading up in a pyramid and being a capstone, and Jesus being the head of that building.
Right.
And everything fitting upon a foundation, which was to be the apostolic foundation. You know, like the way that Abraham expressed it,
Lord,
and the way that Peter expressed it. Abraham, in expressing it, when the writer spoke of him, Abraham said, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one whose builder and whose maker is God.
Amen.
In other words, we know that there's a building somewhere because Solomon built a type of that building when he built the building of old. And we know that that building was symbolic of a building that was to be erected in the earth, wherein the Spirit of God could dwell in it, and that in a coming day, at a coming time, that the eternal Spirit would inhabit that building once it's built.
Amen.
Now, we know that that building was to be built. We know that God was to come out of the tents and start dwelling in a building. Isn't that right?
Amen.
God was to come forth and set up a building of lively stones, and we were to be the habitation of God. And when John of old speaks of it, he says like this. He said, and this is the tabernacle of God among men.
Amen.
Right? He said, I beheld, and lo, I saw the tabernacle of God among men.
Yes.
And when the other writer speaks of it, he said that ye are the tabernacle of God. Ye are the temples of the Lord. And Peter said, as long as God's in this tabernacle, or as long as I'm alive in this tabernacle, he said, I'll stir up your pure mind, which is the mind of Christ, toward the things of God. He said, but if this tabernacle be dissolved, I have another tabernacle eternal in the heaven,
ones, not made with hands. Is that right?
Right.
Now, if I've borne the image of the earthly tabernacle, which is the fall of the first man, Adam, which is like unto the beast, then there must be another image somewhere.
Amen.
There must be another tabernacle somewhere, and that tabernacle must be the body of the second man, Adam, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is eternal and the Spirit, which is the heavenly place where God has preserved that tabernacle. Lord, we lay this tabernacle down. Not that we desire to be unclothed, Paul says, but rather clothed upon by our tabernacle from heaven.
Yeah.
Being God's building, fitly framed together, we are looking for a city that had foundations. Abraham never defined that city, and the others never defined that city during their lifetime. But I have found the city, Brother John. I have found the city that had foundations. Now you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean that the world, according to science, is floating around out here in space. That is nothing but just a big ball.
Reach over
and
now.
All of the galaxies are floating around, not one of them can be proven to have a foundation.
That's right.
But I've discovered a city with foundation. And according to the book of Revelation, that foundation is the foundation of the teachings of the 12 apostolic leaders.
That's right.
Paul said, other foundations can no man lay except this which Christ has laid,
That's right.
That every man take heed how he build their
reach on now.
And so then when the Lord himself picked out the 12 stones for the foundation, he laid the foundation for the city and told Paul as a wise master builder to take the stones and place those stones upon that foundation until it reached that chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so then he's been working, or God has had men working from that time until this, picking up their stones and putting those stones together until we get that building completed, that the headstone might come back to it, crying grace, grace, grace. So then there is a city that has foundation, and I found a city. And that city is the city of New Jerusalem. And the Bible said the 12 foundations was of 12 beautiful jewels and had the name of the apostolic leaders in that foundation.
Yeah.
And so then I have found the city with foundation that Abraham searched for. Whereas he searched for a city that had foundation, I found the city with the foundations, and I am satisfied to dwell in that city.
Amen.
And with God's people, I said, like Ruth of old, thy people are my people, God, whether they be over here in Enid, Mississippi, that's easier to say, I don't have it. Whether it be somewhere else, I am satisfied to be here with God. Buddy, to dwell in the city of God. For this is the city of God that we've been looking for to come for many long years. The wonderful city of God, the city with foundations. And so then when the prophet came to David, he said, David, he said, do all that is within thine heart. Said, but God will not let you build the city. I think about our brother Branham that came on the scene, of whom some of you are acquainted. A great man of God, brought up in a dry season when it appeared that there was nothing being done. And the great mighty miracles of God that manifested through his life shook the assemblies of God until they swung their doors wide open. I repeated the brother Branham meeting to the assemblies of God around the nation. The miracles and the power of God were so great that they swing their doors wide open, and so did the churches of God and the UPC and all the rest of them. And God sent forth a great revival, raised up great men like Oral Roberts and Allen and many other great men. Some of them fell away. Some of them did not go on with God. But God raised them up, and they shook the nation with the power and the demonstration of the Spirit.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. A great move of God that was at war with the enemy through the earth. And through this, they gathered many lively stones together. With their great tent meetings as David of old, they gathered the gold and silver together that was needed, the lively stones and the jewels together that was needed for the building of this great city.
Amen.
But now we've come into a new age. We've come into a new time. They warred and they warred, and they could not build a city because they had too much blood on their hands.
Amen.
God said, David, thou art a man of war, and said, there's too much blood on your hand to build the city. But said, I'll raise up your son, son Solomon, and he shall build the city
with
the foundation.
Praise God.
And show them it is a true fact that God was not able with the past leadership and with the past move of God to establish the house of God in the earth. That's why the millennium has never come in.
Amen.
He was not able to do it. But he was able through the great ministries of these leaders to gather together stones that can be fitly joined together in this wonderful, wise master builder's plan, which was Paul the Revelator.
Yes.
By means of a revelation that Paul had, which he said at that time was out of season. In at that time the building could not be established. He said, I am as one that's born out of season.
Yes.
But being the apostle of the Gentile church, being to you, he said there'd come forth a time when this great, wonderful revelation would be given to the people in its season, and it would fit together the lively stones,
yeah,
and the great millennium age would come in, and the great capstone would come down, and the great eternal spirit would fill the individuals and make them a habitation.
Praise
for God, that the tabernacle of God might dwell among men.
Yes.
That he might be their God and wipe away all the tears of their eyes forever, and lead them to the fountains of living waters that's spoken of in the book of Revelation. I want you to notice something here tonight in the little lesson that we're trying to bring out. First of all, when David came forward, David desired to build this building. But if you remember, just prior to the time of David, there was another great leader.
Right.
A man that at the time that God picked him up was a very meek leader.
Right.
He was a very meek, humble fellow. But as God picked him up, he became very exalted. And as God began to deal with him, it displeased him. And God said, someday I'll take Saul from away from the house of God.
Yes.
And I'll put a man over the house of God that's after my own heart.
Yes.
And so then he proceeded to take Saul away and bring David up from the sheepcote to establish the kingdom of Israel in that hour. I want you to see something tonight. First of all, in the age that's gone by, we've seen something that's been likened to the Saul age. Isn't that right?
Yes.
We've seen humble men that were picked up. God picked them up, and they became great leaders. And they started great revivals, and a Pentecostal movement sprang up. Maybe an Assembly of God movement. Maybe a Church of God movement. Maybe some other great movement. Maybe a Baptist movement. But they all sprang up. But if you notice, their leaders became great. Their leaders became exalted.
Yeah.
Their leaders got like Saul and began to turn on the spoil of the world.
Yeah.
And began to turn to materialistic value. And they lost sight of the sheep and lost care of the sheep and desire for the sheep. And let the sheep out there just to struggle and to get by. To take every dollar, to give them nothing. But
they
turn it into a great machine and into a great organization to build greater churches to get men that are deluded in mind and to get women that are deluded in mind to gather them together to make a great money machine out of it.
Amen.
It's the truth.
It's been a Saul regime. God said, I'll give you Saul. But said he'll turn your women into confectionists.
Yes.
He said he'll take your sons into bondage. He'll put them all as servants doing this or doing that and not bring them into the Spirit of God and into the mind of God. And they said, we want a king.
Yes.
Oh, Brother Samuel had never been nothing but a prophet. And old Brother Samuel never been a king over him. And Samuel said, I've led you and done all I could for you.
That's
said, I've never taken anything from you.
Yeah.
And said, God forbid that I should sin against God when I'm praying for the people. I've always prayed for you. I've not coveted your silver or gold, as Paul says.
Right.
He said, but you still desire king. And he said, "This I call you to record this day. And as God's great hand began to move in the heavens, God began to vindicate the words of Samuel and show that God was standing on Samuel's side. He said,
yes.
I call you to record this day that this is your act and not God's. But through your desire, God's going to give you a king. And God gave him a king.
Yes.
And that king has been great and been mighty and been ecclesiastical, has sent general oversteers, seers, and state overseers, men that are not spiritual, men that know nothing about God, men that are not fast, men that are not praying, men that have no understanding of God, but just to take the people into bondage. People that want prestige in the things of the world,
right,
wanting to get the doctrine, the dentist, the lawyer,
yeah,
and the great men interested in the church.
Yeah. Reach on now.
Hallelujah. I feel this way about it. As I said the other day from the pulpit down home, I said the dentists can come and the doctors come, and they do. I said, they can come. I said, but I'll tell you one thing. There's only one way, and that's old-time holiness. I said, the doctor, it's going to creep in one way, and the dentist another way. It's going to come through the door.
Come on, man.
I said, it's going to wash his filth away and get in here with the children of God and line up with the children of God.
Yes,
I said, we don't need no prestige. We've got all the prestige we need, which is the heavenly prestige that comes from God. I said, we don't need any prestige. We don't have to bow down to the garbage can.
Hallelujah.
I feel like this Sunday God in the Bible.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Shine the noonday sun. Hallelujah. There's no need of us turning to the world and the beggarly elements of the world. What could you want more than being a son of God?
Amen.
The Bible teaches that one son of God, if God should unveil him, that the noonday sun would have to hang its head in shame.
Yeah.
And he would be so exceedingly bright, he would outshine the brightness of the noonday sun, just one son of God. Why should you turn to the beggarly elements of the world? Why would you desire the lust of the flesh? And why should you desire the things of the world?
Praise
Do you want to turn back to the beggarly elements of the world, Paul said? And be in bondage to those kinds of things? I look at our young folks. I see some back here not paying attention. Had some the other night over here at Cedar View that wasn't paying attention. And I spoke to them in the name of the Lord. And I rebuked the evil spirit that had them. And it broke. And every one of them paid attention after that. But I see some of them's minds clouded up with the things of the world. And I understand you young folks. And I know that. I know a lot of times, you know, we say we're... The young folks are having a hard time and we have to give away to them. But now listen, Brother Pine wants to shoot right straight down the old
preach on
now. As Brother Brown used to say, young people of today don't want you sticking a sugar tin in your mouth. Last night we stayed at the Best Western Motel over here right next to the rodeo. And I had a whole bunch of tracks and Brother Taylor had a whole bunch of tracks. And people was just flooding that place. There was hundreds and thousands upon thousands of people. And Brother Taylor, he got down at one place, and we got up at another place, and I'll tell you what, we began to pass out something to let them know what it was all about. Amen. We began to give them some literature so they could understand what the rodeo really was about. That made them understand it better than any other kind of a leaflet that they could have given them.
Amen.
In other words, it made them to know that those that were going to places like that was going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
Amen. Come on,
preach on now.
I know Mississippi. I know Tennessee. So I preach to people. I know how they love rodeos.
Yes, Lord.
I know how they love to get to them horses.
Praise God.
Love horses too. I was brought up and had one myself. Well, let me tell you something. When you go to the shindigs of the world and you get out there in the things of the world like that was over there, you're going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
I tell you what, are you talking about a rebuke? I looked across the way, Brother Leon, and there was a movie going on, and you know what the movie was? In big letters, it said, The Race with the Devil. And I thought, now the lands, they were packed in there like sardines, and here God in big bold letters was speaking to them. And they couldn't see it because the Bible said the wicked not see when good coming.
Amen.
So then what we need to do, young people, is wake up. Get straight mouth. When somebody comes up to you and say, chicken, because you won't go do the things of the world, just stop. Don't be mean. Don't be haughty. Just turn around and say, honestly, I wouldn't have thought that you were so immature as even to think like that.
Preach on now.
That's right. I thought you'd have had more reason with the years that you got behind you. As old as you are, Jesus at 12 years old amazed the wise men. I'd just say to him, I'd say, I don't have any time with you. Anybody that would talk like that and think like that couldn't have much reasoning about him.
Preach on.
Get out here and spin the wheels and drag race and get yourself killed or kill somebody else or go to the frolics of the world. Brothers, don't do that. Little brothers, don't do that. Little sisters, don't do that. Be something for God.
Amen.
You got 30, 40, 60, maybe 80 years in this life if you had that long. You might escape through this life, you know, going maybe 60, 70, 80 years at the very best if you did that. You might escape wrecks. You might escape the dreadful diseases. Yes. You might escape the wars. Yes. You might escape the plagues. Everything in the world for that long, you'd be nip and tuck even if you didn't.
Yes.
Just about, you know, escape starvation and whatnot. That's right. But I'll tell you something. I'm introducing something to you tonight that's eternal.
Yes.
You can be an eternal being. You can be a God. Jesus called them more than just people.
Yes.
How many of you know that?
Amen.
See, he called them more than people. I want to show you something tonight now. I know that we're just flesh and blood, but I want to show you something tonight. He called them more than people. He said to them, he said, have not I called ye gods? Jesus said that.
Yes.
Jesus said to them Jews, when they wanted to stone him to death, he said, well, what good work do you stone? He said, we don't stone you for a good work. He said, we stone you because you being a man. Brother Leon, a man, is that right?
That's right.
Is that right, folks? Brother Leon's a man. You being a man, make yourself God. Said, we stone you for this.
Preach on now.
Come on, folks.
Right. What was it that couldn't understand the revelation of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
What was it? Jesus turned soberly to them and he said, is it not written in the scripture that I have called ye gods?
Right. Preach on now.
Come on.
Right. Right.
Right. I went back and checked the scriptures. I said, let's just check it out. I know Jesus is right. I went back and checked the book of Psalms from which he quoted, and that was in big letters as David was praying, the Holy Spirit speaking through him like it was to the lips of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit said, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. My people
die
like gods. Let me tell you something, folks. A person that is a son of God is a God. Are you listening?
Amen.
A person that's a son of God is a God. Why are they a God? Because gods can't die.
That's right.
Gods can't die. That's what a God is. Something that can't die.
That's right.
And you've got eternal life. That makes you a God. That doesn't make your man. You pass from
that.
Pass from death unto life. And tonight, God has made you God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. I know we're waiting for the redemption of the body. I realize that. But the inner man is shifted into the kingdom of God. He passed from death to the life. And tonight he's already in the kingdom of God, safe with Christ. Hallelujah. He said that ye are God. I want you to get this tonight. Isn't it a true fact? If you had some dogs out here, is it a true fact that dogs begat dogs? Is that right?
Yes.
Isn't it a true fact that birds begat birds?
Right. Yes.
Cats begat cats.
Come on.
Fish begat fish.
Right.
And gods begat gods. The Bible said you are born of God, you're sons of God, God begat gods.
That's right.
When you are born of God, you are a God.
Yes.
He makes you a God. He gives you eternal life. He gives you eternal riches.
Right.
He gives you eternal understanding, eternal brilliance,
that's
eternal
Lord.
Glory, eternal youth, and eternal radiance.
That's right.
That's a so God. Men don't forget things like that.
That's right.
Hallelujah. See what a great calling God's trying to bring us into. Why should these young people trade such a thing for a few beggarly elements out here in the world?
Amen.
Why would you trade? Why not lay those things aside and get out there and be a real somebody for God and take a message and a testimony and help people find God and the goodness of God. You young ladies, be a real woman. Step out there. Put you on some clothes that's decent. Get out there and walk like a lady. Suffer shame for his name and stand in the midst of them. And when they say something, just look at them like this. Just think, there are those poor, deluded people. Don't be mad at them. There are those poor, deluded people that can't see when good cometh. And here they are out here in the world needing help and nobody to guide them. Like Jesus said, sheep without a shepherd. Here they are out there and, oh God, help me not to revive them. Help me not to persecute them. Help me not to walk them. But help me, God, to lift them up and strengthen them and lead them. And yet stay free from the things that they're doing. Stay away from the things that they're doing. And be a testimony for God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you,
God.
We're going to close in just a
minute. Come on.
Now, I want you to see this, young ladies. Look what a beautiful thing you could be.
Amen.
A daughter of the Lord. When you look at them people, you know how to look at those people? Why, you look at those people and realize that you are a queen to sit in heaven somewhere. To walk in heaven somewhere.
Amen.
A great, beautiful woman, a queen, to walk the streets of glory, to live eternally, to own everything in heaven and in earth. For the Bible said all things are yours.
Amen.
All things through Christ belongs to you.
Reach on now.
Lord, hallelujah.
Thank God.
Now you traded for just a few little thrills of the flesh out here, some beggarly elements.
Praise God.
Don't let them mistreat you. Don't let them steal your crown. Don't let them take your life away from you.
Preach
Don't
on
do
now.
That. Stand there and be a testimony for God.
Yes.
Do something. I feel sorry for the Assemblies of God. I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for the churches of God, the other great organizations of the world.
Preach
I remember a time when some of those people really had salvation, really served God. I remember when the Assemblies of God was on fire. I remember when the Church of God was on fire and the Pentecostal homes. I preached for them. But they let their standards down. They let everything come in.
That's right.
I'm not money trying to get prestige. They've laid aside the ways of holiness and they've fallen into a snare.
Amen.
Look, folks, did you know there's only one spirit?
Yes.
That is the spirit of holiness.
Amen.
Listen now. God is the spirit of holiness, Paul said. When you are ashamed of holiness, you are ashamed of God.
Amen.
You are ashamed of God. The Bible said in the millennium, when the ladies go to pick up the pots and pans, That is the Jewish people. You'll be celestial. But the Jewish people, the nations that are there, they will pick up the pots and the pans, and the Bible said across the pot and the pan, it will say, holiness unto the Lord.
Amen.
You're going to have to get the old horse and put the bridle on.
It'll
say, holiness unto the Lord. Don't you know Baptists are going to fill out a place, and Presbyterians, Pentecostal, and Church of God, and Assemblies, and all of these that fail to lift up holiness, or that's ashamed to call themselves holiness? When they get out there, don't you know they'd be out of place?
Amen.
Because everything out there will be holiness unto the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Over at our place, we got holiness unto the Lord.
Yes.
When you get to Little Bethlehem and you see that oval-shaped thing over the gateway, you'll see in big, beautiful letters, holiness unto the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. We believe in holiness unto the Lord. Every piece of literature that we send out, it's got a cross in holiness unto the Lord. We send out thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pieces of literature into England, into Africa, into the foreign places, and around the world we send it. God blesses it and meets the needs.
Right.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm getting a little excited.
Listen, Lord. Come on. Preach on. Come on.
Listen, Lord. Right now, you know, we just left a few days ago, and I'm going to have to get back right away. But just a few days ago, and when I left, he was running a German translation. As a matter of fact, Frank, you brought most of the track on. He had gotten it ready by the time you came along. And he was running a German translation. We put out a lot in Spanish and a lot in English, and he was running a German translation and a French translation, and following that up with a Hebrew translation and a Chinese translation. You know, the Bible said the gospel to every creature throughout the world. And every time in America, we forget that.
Yeah.
But throughout the world, and the thing is, we're trying to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, well, the Chinese, the Hebrews, why you couldn't do that, Brother Pine? But the Bible said God has fashioned all men's hearts alike.
Yes.
Made us all of one blood.
Yes.
There's nothing in a Chinese heart more than yours that's looking for God. The Jews, the Germans, all are looking for God. They fight, they fuss, they go after worldly gain. But in their heart, it's fashioned like they're looking for God.
Amen.
And so then we're trying to reach them for God. How many young folks tonight, as well as the elderly people? You know, a lot of elderly people, they say, well, if I was back like you, I've heard a lot of times, you know, they'll hem a young person up and they'd say, you know, if I was back like you, what I would do.
Amen.
But the truth is, when they were back there, they didn't do it.
Amen.
Now, but they say, you know, if I was like you, but I want to tell you something, folks, that isn't going to help the youth. But when the youth can see you take the outlook like Moses did, Moses, 80 years old, come on now, listen to this. Moses, 80 years old, and Moses never took the outlook and said, if I was like you, what I would do. He just took up a rod at 80 years old.
Praise God, amen.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever.
Moses,
80 years old, took up a rod and went down there and delivered the children of Israel.
Yes.
Come on.
What he done?
Old brother Caleb, way up in his years, went up there and fought, took over a city and said, I feel like a young man.
Praise God.
Old brother Abraham done got gray. The Lord had a little trouble. He said, get out the camels.
Yes.
He jumped astride a camel and took off and whipped the enemy and came back with a spoil. That's what the young people want to see. If God's what we say that God is, then why isn't God in the people, whether they're young or old or whatnot, and get out there and do something for God? And quit and leave off with our grunts and our ales and our ailments and all of these things.
Yes, sir, Lord.
That's why the church is sick without them. Not one was sick among them in the wilderness. God healed them.
Amen.
Said so many on the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivered them out of all.
Yes.
What it is, we got in condemnation and lost our faith. That's what it is.
Amen.
By meddling around with the world, misplacing our faith. A lot of you folks, little folks, you know, you feel like you can't do anything for God. But God took a boy 7 years old and raised him up and set him on the throne.
Yes.
7 years old, God raised him up, put him on the throne.
Yes.
12 years old, Jesus confounded the wise men. Another man about 8 years old, set him on the throne.
Yes.
See, there's no age limit with God. It's not by power of might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Yes.
Let me say this and coming to a close here.
Listen, Lord.
First of all, the house of God is being built.
Yes.
I'm down here by revelation.
Listen, Lord.
I told him the other night over in City View, I said, I'd love to come to you. I'd love to come over here.
Listen, Lord.
I said, but I've been trying to be led for God by God over 20 years in the ministry. And in the nation and out of the nation. I said, now I go by the leading of God. When the Lord says go, I try to go. The Lord told me to go to Olive Branch, go to Missouri, come down here to Brother Leon's.
Yes.
And I tried my best to do it as near as I possibly could. Now, I'm here not just to preach a message, not just to fellowship, even though I love that. I'm glad
yes,
for
Lord.
It. I welcome the opportunity to fellowship. It's wonderful to me. But I'm here to tell you that this is the very beginning. At this point, Brother Leon is head over heels involved
yes,
in the Spirit of God and the move of God. I know people don't believe that. Some of them are out here
that knows
him, I guess. Yes, but it's absolutely the hand of God is upon him. He's right in the middle of it.
Yes.
And God sent me down here because he's directly connected with the move of God.
Preach on
Paul
now.
Said after about 15 years, when the revelation is with me, I come down here with a revelation to talk with you, to talk to Brother Leon. And it's at a very precise moment, for at this very time, there is the change of the old going out and the new coming in.
Yes.
That's why that Brother Leon had to come out of that church.
Amen.
He pastored seven churches. We had the seven church ages. And Brother Leon had to come out of there because God is closing out the church age, doing away with the soul age, doing away with the veil, doing away with a generation that is adulterous, and bringing in the God people of a new world. And
exactly.
New world. That's all.
I see.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I'm going to stop.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to stop because if I did not get into what Brother Taylor refers to as the present truth, things are happening right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's a good while just to show you what's happening right now. I'm not sure that some of you see it, but anyway, I want to say this. It's my privilege, Brother Leon, to be here.
God.
Thank God for it. And you got a man of God here that loves you, that teaches you, the better preacher than I am. And he prays for the sick.
Yes,
tonight
sir,
I could pray for the sick. I just feel the moving of God. But
yes, sir,
you've got somebody here that does that loves God, that's got faith. And I'm just going to say that I love you, I appreciate you, and I want your prayers. I want you to work with us. I count it a joy to be here with you.
Yes,
I'm going to turn the service back to our Brother Leon.